Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Ah, lovely.
What a great track from Tracksuit Larry there.
Thank you, Tracksuit Larry. Their single and their band are available on their Linktree.
Oh, that's nice. We get more band submissions in.
Yeah. So link
last one was a hit.
tr.ee/tracksuitlarry
Nice.
If you want to check out that person's band. Thank you very much.
Our previous band, Vanadian Straits, what were they called?
Wasn't Vanadian...
Mantis State.
Mantis State.
I like that name. Viridian Straits.
They confirmed that they were, in fact, real fans, which was good.
That's nice, I think, a recent video of the podcast,
they said, I am a true fan and I've been subbed for a while and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, all right, yeah, we'll promote it. And I was seconds away from deleting that.
I think it'd be really rare for someone not to be a fan if they're listening again.
And sending an email in. They sent a nice long email as well.
We get a lot of emails to promote shit for free, though.
But did you read the Mantis State one?
Not like this.
That's why I included it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. There you go.
I thought it was Vanadian Steel.
That's
Scandinavian
a fictional band.
Rock band, Vanadian Steel.
That's your own fictional band. But keep the name. It sounds...
Sounds good.
Well, it was Venerian Straits.
Venereal Straits.
Venereal Straits. Anyway, I'm Ross Hornby.
I'm Chris Trott.
And I'm Alex Smith, and I'm in a Venereal Straits. It's nice. They're using the last of the antibiotics on me. After this, if this one doesn't work, I'm going to live with it. Slowly go mad.
We've got some fun hypotheticals for you today.
Yeah.
Is it which antibiotics would work against my venereal disease?
None.
If you had to create an antibiotic...
How different are the antibiotics?
I don't know.
Chemist Smith, please tell me.
No.
How different are all the antibiotics? Or if you took one antibiotic, will it cure everything?
Can do.
I don't think I've ever been on a course of antibiotics.
Never been on a course of antibiotics. Holy shit! No wonder I've got so many mental problems. I've been on loads of them.
But they say you shouldn't, right? They say you shouldn't, right?
No, yeah, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't, for reasons.
Yeah. Otherwise, it becomes. What? Like,
if you
doesn't
have
actually
genuine
do what it's
infection,
supposed to do.
You need to cure an infection.
The way to cure an infection is the magic of antibiotics.
Otherwise, you could die.
But
how do we trust doctors?
Well, you can't, obviously.
We can't go into
into the GP with a healthy dose of skepticism under your belt.
No, we don't.
7 years of teaching, is that enough?
It's more than you've done on Google.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a trouble.
I don't think
WebMD is the answer, isn't it?
That is the answer.
But it always leads to the same result.
No, it's not.
Let's just train cancer doctors because that's all everyone's got.
Got it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Go to your doctors.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes you do need antibiotics.
Mm.
But it's crazy. I can't believe that you have never had any. Have you ever had an ear infection? You ever had like
an
chest infection?
I must have had someone when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's like tablets.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know what it is, but it's just I haven't had them in my adult life.
Yeah. And the only thing I know about antibiotics is that there are several kinds because one of them's penicillin. And so anything, when you have something like amoxicillin, things like that, that's made of penicillin.
Mm.
But then there's other types of antibiotics that aren't penicillin because some people are allergic to penicillin. And that means that...
There's an alternative.
You have an alternative, thankfully.
Shit, okay. Well, thanks.
Nice.
Thanks, guys. I don't need a doctor and I've got you guys around.
Right. Just mold some bread and then you get penicillin.
And I've actually got a little lump that I want you guys to look at later.
Yeah, I'll snip that bad boy off. I'm a snipper.
That doesn't need antibiotics.
He's a snipper. Can you just double check that it needs snipping before he does it?
I'm a snipper.
Well, you got to...
Snip first, ask questions later.
Okay.
Or the paramedics.
Disgusting.
None of those subjects are in the hypotheticals answer your question.
Thank God.
Well, that's good because it's fresh.
I don't know. It
means whatever we said there won't be repeated. Well, should I go for the first one then?
Well, thank you to our wonderful supporters for providing these wonderful hypotheticals. One of which was batshit insane.
Was it?
But it's the, also
is
the
it
third option.
It's a really long one. Yeah, I see
it's
that.
It's a really long one, but wasn't voted on. So thank you for voting well. Anyone that's a member or a Twitch subscriber or a patron can vote on these things now. You just have to go to our Discord or on Patreon. It's available there to do your votes. And number one, most voted
number
hypothetical.
One is as follows. And this is from David C. That's all I'm going to say. Superstitions suddenly come to fruition. Step on crack, break mother's back, etc. Mm-hmm. Which would you do or avoid? Well, how many are there? So there's stepping on a crack, you break your mother's back. That's the classic one. What's the other one? What about the superstition of walking over like three drains? Well, two drains is good luck. Three drains is
bad luck.
There's
so many.
And like, do they all have to be like fun rhyming things? Like the back and the
most popular.
Was you want to know the only time I've ever been superstitious? In answer to your question, none of them. Because I'm willfully against superstition. That's like good. I'm actively like if something says,
if someone says
do that, I'm like, I'm going to go under the ladder. I'm going to shake the fucking thing. I'm going to try and scare the guy on it. You know,
oh yeah,
like,
don't go under the ladder. That's one.
You're going to die very quickly then.
No,
not necessarily.
No,
I feel like the under ladder. If anything, the unlucky part is the fact that it might break.
Well, this is real now. Superstitions are real.
The only time I can remember being superstitious or behaving in a way that would adhere to superstition was one time when years and years ago, I was about 12, 13 years old, and we used to have this garden that was on like a raised up area, and like beneath it was our driveway that kind of went around like a raised garden, right? And this was a back garden. And we had this one tree, the stubborn little shitty tree in the corner. I think it was like a fir tree or something. It wasn't something nice. My dad had cut all of it off. And I'd used all of the limbs, all of the bits that had come off the tree to make a little like... So where this garden was raised, there was a raised bit, then a drop, which had a little pathway, and then like the side of a garage wall, right? And I made a little lean-to out of all the fir trees, right? And I made this like hide, basically. It looked a bit like a bird hide or something. And I was like, hey, I made a little fucking house, like with some bamboo sticks and some fir tree, but you know, whatever. And he was trying to get the rest of this fir tree out. And he decided to use a Land Rover to pull the tree out of the ground because trees have lots of roots. I don't know if you've ever tried digging a tree up, but it's an absolute nightmare.
Haven't needed to.
So you can basically chainsaw through as much of the bottom of it as possible to try and like release it from the ground. But it really wants to stay in the ground. They're pretty good at staying in the ground. So he thought, oh, I know, I'll use my Land Rover, it's like a 4x4, if you don't know what that is, to drag the tree out using a rope. And I was like, oh, this is fucking dodgy. Even as a 13-year-old, I was like, oh, this feels like I could die here.
Was this in your napalm era, or?
This is about pre-napalm.
Pre-napalm. Okay, sorry, just to get an idea.
And I was watching it happen, and he was accelerating and accelerating, and this rope was getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and then the wind started rising, and I was like... I'm getting quite nervous about this rope. I was watching for my little hide. So the rope is now split across our garden. It's going between the middle in a diagonal across our garden. I'm basically to the side of it, about 20 feet away. Not very far away, really. And I was like, oh, this could be really fucking... this could snap and cut me in half, maybe. And the wind started blowing really hard. And I was like, nah, I'll be all right. And so I was watching. And then the wind blew really, really hard again. And I was like, all right, I'll duck down. And so I ducked down into my little hide. And bang, the rope went, whipped straight across the top, ripped the top of my little shelter off, slapped along the wall, all sorts of stuff like that, right, of the garage. And I was like, fuck. For some element of play or fun in my head, I was like, I'm going to pretend the wind's trying to tell me something and adhere to that. And it stopped me from getting cut in half.
But I feel like that's just hazard perception.
Yeah, it could
you were
be.
Just aware of the potential risks.
But he linked
and
it with wind.
Yeah, and I was like, maybe the wind is on my side.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I found out the wind's
him
not
an omen.
But so you would pair that with superstition. I feel that's like that's more like you're aware of a dangerous situation. You've taken an action.
But it wasn't
to save
the
yourself.
Danger that made me do it. It was the fact that
it was the
trees
second wind
were
gust
rustling
it was
like crazy, as if to make a point to like scream at me.
It's whistling in the wind, and that's telling you, hey, something shit's going to happen if you don't just take an action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I took the action.
But then part of me feels like it was just your
I've
intuition.
Superstitious. Yeah, it could have been.
I think it was just intuition, the fact that shit, I've foreseen that something shit could happen here.
Yeah.
Like, final destination level.
The wind told him.
The wind told me though, Ross. All these things are true, but also the wind.
But has
told
the wind
me.
Spoken to you since?
No.
Okay.
And if anything, it really, like, you know.
Or have you just dismissed the wind?
The wind pisses me off quite a lot. God, when you're trying to put up tents in the wind, God, it's fucking infuriating.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a friend of the wind anymore. Me and the wind have
gone separate ways.
What about when it's drying your clothes?
I helped you once, mate.
Well, it probably doesn't often.
I don't have an air in mine, do I? I had to run a Dyson. I used a Dyson to dry my clothes.
So you say you're not...
Wait, sorry, not a Hoover, not the...
Not a Hoover, not the fan. The fucking fan.
You just blow a fan on it. Oh, okay.
It helps. It dries them off a lot quicker. Stops them getting fausty.
Well, yeah. Fausty.
Let me go through some superstitions, and we'll see if you
any
actually...
Of mine. Is wind superstition in there?
It's not in there. But beginner's luck is, and I think there have been multiple times where we've done something new, and you've called beginner's luck on it.
Well...
Okay.
It's just a saying, though, isn't it? Do you believe that it's a...
What?
Because I've done shit at things... Well, I've done shit a lot of things. Things I'm experienced now.
Yeah.
Still dog shit, but...
Wait, so what's gone? Hit us. What
that's
gone?
It.
Luke is the what? Same. Beginner's luck.
Beginner's
is
luck.
The superstition of, like, the fact that, like, you believe that
you
someone who's just begun something...
You get a level of
something.
Luck when you first start a new thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think it's more that when you succeed at something as a complete novice, it's fucking surprising. Because things that require talent or skill or practice...
Why do we call it, though? Why do we call it beginner's luck? Because we have called it that in the past. Is it just you're encapsulating that idea of... we won a saying.
It's become a saying, though, isn't it? Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, oh, he's brought up beginner's luck. He's only just begun the game and now you're shit. So
I think saying something is lucky
doesn't work every time, does it?
Bowing down to the basic understanding that we all have that there are very few things in our control, right? I think that's what it is. When you say beginner's luck, you're like, fuck, there's so many variables. There's so much chaos. Like, you know, they are in their most chaotic form when a person is new to something, right? And so anything, they could accidentally hit it the right way. Even so, as you're gradually learning, you pick up biases or bad habits whilst performing an action that then have to be trained out of you to make you fully functional. So in a way, perhaps a person that's new to something rather than completely fresh is perhaps in a worse situation than one who comes to it with an open mind, you know? So I think that's partly where it comes from.
Yeah.
Is how I would argue it.
I agree. It's just like, bless you.
My sneezes tell me of like ill omens. So something
bad. It's not bullshit.
Something bad's happening.
Oh, sorry.
Find a penny, pick it up all day long, you have good luck.
That is irrefutable, isn't it? Totally irrefutable.
I don't know how you... Yeah.
I walk around with it like a totem.
Have you ever
hang it in front of me when I walk across busy roads. Penny, mate!
But how often have you seen a penny on the floor and just ignored it?
Oh, all the time.
A couple of times.
I feel like Bill Gates every time I do it.
I feel like it looks worse if you try and pick it up.
Oh, not worth
it. It's like, well, like, I'm not going to...
You did it as a kid,
somebody
though,
worthy,
right?
Yeah. But somebody who really wants that penny wouldn't get that penny.
But that's what I kind of think about it as well. I'm like, oh, a kid would find that and be really fucking jacked. I don't need 5p.
If it was a pound, though.
Yeah, probably.
I saw a £10 note on the floor the other day.
Oh, you didn't
you
pick
leave
it up?
It? I did pick it up.
I think that's good.
I gave it back to the owner.
You saw it fall out of somebody's pocket then, did you?
Well,
how
it
did
was.
You know?
Oh, shit, I just kicked this out.
I paired it together with a person that was rushing across the road.
Yeah.
And then there was a polymer just on the floor.
Yeah.
And I picked it up and I went into the building that they were going in. It was annoying because, like, it's one of those knock to get in kind of ones.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, hey, is this yours? I was like, oh, thank you so much.
Oh, that's good.
So,
but yeah, if you saw it, I guess if you see,
I could have had 10 days good luck.
Well,
no, 100 days.
Well, if you give it, isn't there like another part of the rhyme where it's like something, give it back, da 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 da.
Don't take crack.
Don't crack.
Finders keepers, losers weepers.
Yeah,
I think there is that.
But then it depends. If you saw the person that literally dropped it, then that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Like if you just saw a 10 minute and no one was around, you'd be like, well, yeah, I'm going to pop that in my pocket. And then obviously you might feel generous if you see a homeless guy take some money.
Yeah, I think would you do that? Most people what.
So you've just picked up the £10 note.
Yep.
You see a homeless guy, you're going to... Or would you just give him a fiver? Give him ask for change.
That'd be a hard one. I think so. I think that'd be a nice thing to do.
Just like, I don't need it as much as somebody else. And obviously, I've seen it.
The other problem is...
What are you going to say?
I probably am going to sound a bit like a prick saying this. I really don't
want
to sound
like
a prick.
What are you going to say?
Like, so many homeless people have addiction issues.
Yeah.
And
do you know what?
That money is just going into funding it. I don't know whether or not that shouldn't fucking matter. And like, if I was homeless, maybe I'd, you know, do a bit of H. So I mean, I don't know whether that matters. But the other thing is, it's like
£10 is not going to change our lives.
I had a homeless guy.
But it might make
a decent
that day
high.
A bit
might be a little.
Yeah, I know exactly.
A homeless guy, or a nice meal.
But they are kind of antisocial and broadmead. One thing.
Well, this guy that like. Came up to me.
Yeah.
It,
you know the ones that drift alongside you and then, oh, where are you going? What's happening?
Like they walk along. I hate that shit.
walk along with you. This guy was like really well spoken.
Yeah.
Like super well spoken. And he was talking about how he's trying to gather money
for a bus
together.
Group.
No, none of that. Oh. This is where it was like a bit more interesting. He was basically trying to collate enough money to get a group of people. He's getting a group of homeless people together all across different towns and villages and stuff and cities to fund a pool together so they can all get a hostel.
Okay.
Right? And establish themselves as more of a permanent residence so they can like keep having it so that they can like wash and clean and actually try and get jobs. Right. And I was like, okay, interesting. And he followed me the whole way to an ATM. And
ooh, that's the worrying part. Yeah.
No, this was like,
I know, but anyone following you to an ATM is always a bit of a watch out.
Well, yeah, but he was quite reasonable. And yeah, I gave him some money because of that, because I feel like he put so much effort into if it was a story.
No, that's the story. I've heard that one.
He was very like,
sometimes it's true. I don't know. I didn't see him afterwards to see if he's followed through with whatever he says.
I'm too much of a cynic to believe it.
Yeah.
I think that there's no necessary harm in what you're doing, but I also think that there's going to need to be a lot of control on that individual's behalf to make sure they're not pressuring people. Like with you, say for example, he said, look, I was talking to him politely, carefully, trying to explain it. There was no threat. You felt completely in control. You were comfortable. That's fine. If they also go, and if a person said, please leave me alone, I would instantly leave them alone. That's probably fine too. Much like, you know, a charity worker or something like that, who's like trying to get you to say something. You're like, sorry, I don't have anything. If they go, okay, no worries. But like, what I worry about is people in more vulnerable situations than yourself who may feel threat, may feel like they don't have the ability to say no. And that's where I feel interactions like that are fundamentally not okay, personally.
Well, that's based on assumption though, right? Because you've not seen that happen. You've only had it with you, where you feel like you are in control.
Yeah.
And you're assuming that that person would then go on to potentially go to someone that is more vulnerable. But you've not witnessed it.
I know, I'm doing that thing of like, well, of course I don't mind, you know, them doing that, but like, what about, you know, you're creating a victim to prove your point. Absolutely. But I think my logic is okay there. I think you're right. There is a risk of like creating a victim to prove a point, like 100%. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Although
I just buy him a cup of tea. I bought this guy a cup of tea.
No, yeah, I'm sorry, go on. here comes.
There was a guy I knew before, only because he was walking a dog before and I kept meeting him around. Then whatever happened, he ended up homeless.
I'm pretty sure
he was homeless before.
And
yeah, it's just that awkward thing of like, oh shit, I've had conversations with you before, and but he doesn't look good now. But yeah, if I see him like, and he doesn't have a drink, and I'll just, there's a little shop just right like around the corner, just grab him a cup of tea. But I'd rather do that than just like throw money at someone. I feel like at least you've got money anyway. And I don't have money. You know, I normally just use my phone, so I don't even go out with a wallet anymore.
Yeah,
so this is interesting. This is what I was going to say to you, because somebody else said that in the chat as well. They were like, I'd rather buy them some food, or a drink, which I totally agree with.
So I think sometimes they'll just be like, oh, yeah, like a roll would be nice. Something just to, yeah.
But when I was walking into Coffee Number One in near Primark the other day, outside a person asked me for some money, and I said, I don't have any cash, because I didn't. Like you say, I physically don't have any cash, but then I said, if you want a sandwich or something, 100%, I'll grab you. And they said, oh, no, I'm okay, thanks. Somebody's already getting me a sandwich.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I think, but what that shows is, and I think, I don't want to presume, but I don't think homeless people are dying because they're starving or...
They're just outside all the time. Exposure. Well,
but also it's more systemic. It's deeper than that, right?
Yeah.
And yes, it's nice as an individual to another individual saying like, would you like something to eat? But like that again is not really going to fix anything. It's going to make that person's, like the reason that person is on the street is not because they're hungry. It's something much more complicated than that. And so again, as playing the cynic here, you've got to wonder like, again, is that just a salve? Is that any different from giving them money? Is it any different from giving them a joint? You know, like, and are any of those things wrong or right? I don't know either. But I think it's important to bear that in mind. Is like, you know, you can stuff a guy full of Greg sandwiches, but like you can't make him not addicted to heroin through.
Each situation is different. And obviously the guy I was speaking to has actually got a job lined up. So, but it's just like, he's like, yeah, but I don't get paid for another month. So it's just like, still, how do you get out of that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not going to get out of it by just getting a quid here
it's
and there. And obviously like, so you just try and get him something nice, like a cup of tea or a little baggie of heroin.
Yeah. A little bit of H.
Why not both sometimes?
In the tea.
That'd be such a nice afternoon, wouldn't it?
Just lace
a cup of tea and some H. I'll sort you out, mate.
Dreaming. But yeah, sorry. That's a bit heavy, but interesting, I think.
So, if a homeless person sidles up to you and you're on a narrow walkway, right? And then he's on the roadside, but there's a fucking ladder up ahead. Holy shit. And he's actually pushing you
right back
onto that ladder.
Yeah, we should go back to the superstitions.
Do you avoid that ladder?
Or
do you
give me some H before I go onto the ladder. I'm like, mate, the
H. Is there any form of like hesitancy going under a ladder?
Yes, because from it's a not superstitious safe to do. Level. Not from a superstitious point. Yes, because don't walk under a fucking ladder because they can slip out.
Yeah, but something else could happen.
If there's nobody on that ladder, I don't feel so bad about it. But if there's somebody on the ladder, then yeah, I'll probably give it a bit of a
What
water.
If you created a cataclysmic butterfly effect by walking under that ladder instead of throwing the homeless guy in the room?
This morning. Huh?
Through the cause and effect of life.
It's only through ladders. I think ladders are the ones that have the power.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Ladders have the power here, not the people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd happily walk under
portals.
Give me another example.
Black cats crossing your path.
No, I don't give a fuck.
Do you think that's
like
a glitch?
That doesn't mean anything to me if that happens.
Nothing at all.
Only because like you see cats all over the place.
And it's sad that there are actually higher numbers of black cats in cattery hostels, whatever you want to call them.
Is it because of superstition?
Because apparently it's superstition. Way. People wanting to give away. Bizarre, right?
That's bizarre.
That's really strange. Like, don't get a cat, man, if that matters. You know?
Well,
like,
yeah. If that's what's all that's important.
Yeah.
Rabbit's feet are still a thing to some people, aren't they?
Is that not like...
fending off evil.
Is that some sort of...
It's like a token.
Witch thing? Or
a
like
talisman.
Old school.
Yeah, it's quite pagan.
Pagan, that's what I want.
Well, apparently it blends Native American, European, and African traditions. I think a lot of... And in the UK, it might be early Celtic tribes that did that.
I'm not going to wear a rabbit's foot.
I mean, they're fucking everywhere as well. Like, you know,
that's what they do.
Like, does it, maybe if it was like a narwhal's horn or something, I'd be a lot more believable. But like... This is just a rabbit's foot. Like, if you want, guys,
how do you measure?
We could go and get a load of rabbit's foots off of real rabbits. Like, we could get loads in a day.
Oh. Because I think the real challenge would be to measure such a thing. Like, I guess, yeah, what would we do?
Each I don't of think us, it's measurable,
each of us have.
I don't think it's based on luck. Scientific method.
No, luck. That's what I mean. Like, how do you measure
can't
luck?
You divide can't, your life up.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I'm going to go day without a rabbit foot and day with and do the exact same thing.
What you would have to do is line up a series of things that you could either do well at or do shit at, right?
Mm.
Wear it. Each of us wear one.
Yeah,
we do each of these tasks.
We break every superstition,
and then we try and figure out if there's a luck balance to what we just did, or whether it's a skill issue. I don't. Well, it shouldn't be skill based. It should be either like a simple task, like I don't know. But I'm trying to think of what would give you good luck, or what would be considered a lucky thing to have happened to you.
You're talking about likelihood.
I just went to the bookies and put all on red, and so did I.
Gamble.
But I lost it. So that was
gamble with rabbit's
foot. My rabbit's foot was bollocks. Did shit all.
The reason. Right.
Let's go gambling and have all the lucky things ever and see if it works.
You understand this, right? I mean, like, just by trying to pose this argument, you realize how ridiculous everything is.
Yes.
It's complete. Something that is unmeasurable
is
basically irrelevant, you know? Like,
But some people will have that in the back of their mind of like, ooh, I've heard it's bad luck to do this, so I'll avoid that because it doesn't hurt you not to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh, don't walk over three drains or, you know, cross your fingers over a certain...
Well, that's just...
Touch wood.
It's like touch wood.
That's
touch
just
wood.
Pavlovian
yeah.
conditioning. You know, it's the same way you do something a certain way for reasons you
But
think.
Like, you might subconsciously walk over those drains without thinking and be like, nothing bad happens because you don't even think about
it. Yes, because it's not real.
Well, yeah, but it's in the back of your mind. You might think, oh, shit, it doesn't hurt me to just walk here. And then you would just be like, well, either way. So people in the back of people's minds are thinking, oh, I'd rather not have bad luck, even though I don't know whether that exists or not.
I think superstition comes from
if they had to go out of their way,
some element of realness. In that, like, you avoid drains because they're slippery.
Yeah.
You know, you might turn an ankle.
What the fuck?
Like,
what sort of power do magpies have, though? Because there is a whole...
Shit.
Like, up to seven of them, I think, have all different powers.
Yeah.
One for girl, one for boy.
Now, I've got an interesting, not that
one for sorrow,
theory.
Two for joy.
It's because magpies are so fucking clever. People looked at magpies when they were more superstitious, when we were culturally more superstitious, and they went, these fucking birds are up to something. Because they were. They were up to something. Because they're really, really smart.
They're conniving, and they remember faces.
Yeah, they're clever as fuck. And I think that's it. People recognize that, and they accounted it to
And they prey on the superstitious ones. That
they
can see them counting.
Yeah.
Which I used to do as a kid on the way to, like, primary school. Because we used to have, like, flocks of magpies between my
What's the magpie thing?
One for sorrow, two for joy, three for girl, four for boy, five for silver, six for gold, seven for a secret never to be told.
Don't tell him!
Oh, it's a secret.
Then all the magpies come and get you. They enforce it.
If you see seven magpies, like there's an
ambulance. They have to be in a flock,
right?
That where you witness. So if you on a day, you see two magpies. Okay, one for sorrow, two for joy. Thank God, it's a joyful day.
Okay,
that's what I used to do.
Is this like the bones fucking thing? Recently, like dog died, didn't it? Bones Day.
Yeah,
the Bones Day.
I think it was an old and very unhealthy breed, right? Is it a pug?
Yeah,
it was a pug. But I think that's more of a
doomed.
I need an excuse to be motivated today or to have a lazy day, and people put that responsibility on a dog. Basically.
It's also a bit like when people look for meaning in star signs. It's just like you're looking for meaning because I think it's a symptom of a feeling of I think we all have to grapple with how little control we have over our lives a lot, you know, and that has different outcomes. And I think superstition and star signs is one of those things. You're like, I don't know, what's going to happen to me this week? You know, like, oh, you might meet a lover, and you're like, oh, I'd like a lover. That sounds nice. Or like,
well, the statements are sometimes quite generalized, which makes it kind of like, oh, I can see how that could fit into my life or make that work. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mr. Megan, as it's known.
She's dead.
She actually gone.
Mystic Meg.
Did she predict it?
I don't know if she predicted it.
I don't know. You think that she should have done, considering she was spent most of her life predicting the lottery numbers. Never got them right, though.
That's why
was that what she was doing?
What?
Mystic Meg predicting lottery numbers? Like,
yeah, no, winners.
Winners.
She would say stuff like, they'll have a car.
Oh, so she would say generic things.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, yes, you live near many other buildings, much like yours, on a road that's
It's on a
suburban.
Street, not unlike this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be so loosey-goosey, it's just like...
But this is why, and going back to the doctor's thing again...
Yeah, we shouldn't believe them.
This is why you should keep terminal illness secret until the last day, because then you can really fuck people up by going like, today is the day I die.
Sometimes you can't.
You can't predict that.
Sometimes you can't hold it in until the last day and be fully functioning and healthy.
But if you can...
what are you achieving by doing that?
You fuck with people, you're like... Today's the day.
Yeah. If you were terminally ill, I feel like there would be a gradual decline to that day.
He would.
You
it's
should.
Just I feel a
like
joke.
He looks like he's going to fucking... I know.
Well,
it feels like he's going to fucking die. But today's the day. It's going to happen.
Imagine if you could be fully healthy until the last day and then you're like, I forgot my rabbit's foot today.
Yeah.
And then
you
wink and walk off.
Exactly. This is what I'm getting at.
Just stroll into a nearby river.
And then everyone's like, wow, I hope that was worth it. And they're like...
And everyone's going to be buying rabbit's feet.
Yeah.
The word's going to spread.
You invest heavily, your family's in fortune in rabbit's feet. And then you prove it on your last
That's
day.
That's essentially like giving money to the generations below you, really. You're setting up an investment there.
Yeah.
You're saying...
Wait.
So essentially, it is. What are you saying?
Wait, what is it? What,
I'm
what
saying,
revelation have you got here?
You give them the superstition of rabbit's feet, right?
Right.
Before you die.
Yeah.
They could then start, you leave a note.
Investing in rabbit's feet. Yeah, that's yeah.
Start
yeah.
up a rabbit's foot business.
Yeah.
You're giving them something. It's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. A rabbit's foot business. Who wouldn't want to be in the rabbit's feet game?
I don't want
to. All you need to do is farm rabbits and cut their feet off. And bad news, that's not actually fatal. So you've got all these little stubby toed rabbits running around your garden now.
You aim to get all 4 feet off one rabbit. So that's like 4 for 1.
Yeah. It's like, this is like a KFC chicken.
Yeah. Then they're stilting it for the rest of the way.
You have to have the fur on.
Put wheels on it, make them wheelers. Like,
I've seen a rabbit's foot as like a talisman before. Yeah. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Pretty horrible.
Yeah, just a little foot.
A little grim
it's horrible,
little foot.
Because you're like,
an animal
that poor rabbit.
Around. Yeah.
That's an unlucky rabbit.
It also really. Hoof. I got a lot of hoofs at home that Murphy chewed.
Oh, yeah, because he eats.
And I feel like I can rebuild a cow with the amount of
foot. Oh, my God.
Maybe you should do an art attack.
That's all
this is an art attack. This is me rebuilding a cow with hooves.
That's like trying to make a human out of fingernails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do it.
They shouldn't eat. They shouldn't eat that.
Danny Dyer's fingernail homunculus.
Yeah, it's pretty gross though. You can just clop around on them if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do that sometimes?
Always.
You dress up.
Yeah.
Like that guy that danced that Goodbye Horses thing.
I put them on Murphy's feet so you can clop around.
So you can hear him coming.
And it's like, oh, you're like a baby cow.
Oh, he hates the hardwood floors now.
So I cover him in blood and red meat. And it's really, really fun.
He's loving it.
You better come around.
He's
it's
just
really
like
good.
Constantly eating. He's like, this is great.
Really gross. Anyway, what about mirrors?
Mirrors.
Yes, mirrors. Smashing a mirror is known to give you seven
years. Specifically, bad luck.
7 years of bad luck. Seven. That's a long time. If you were that superstitious, that'd be fucking dumb. I mean,
I reckon it puts you in a state of mind for 7 years of like, holy shit.
Think, I wouldn't think about it again. What, you'd think that every bad, like, no, you'd go, oh, I broke a mirror a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, fuck. Someone that's heavily superstitious and believes mirrors can cause you that. I think there's like a placebo effect of like that sort of thing, right? Where it's like, I know I'm unlucky for 7 years.
Yeah.
And you're going to magnify everything that goes wrong in your life.
Yep. Eventually you'd forget between that 7 year period. There's a point you'd forget. Unless not something drastic happened. Really, you're like, superstitious. Oh, it must have been.
It's just vehicles for mental health.
2007.
You've blackened your calendar for 7 years.
I reckon it's something to do with the fact that when they used to make mirrors, they used to make them using, I think it's like silver nitrate or something like that, which is really toxic.
Mercury, wasn't it?
It's like super toxic.
Maybe I'll think of something else.
They smash it and they die.
They smash it, and that's how long it takes to metabolize all the goddamn toxins out of your body. 7 years.
Well, here's the explanation here. Says the superstition arises from the belief that mirrors don't just reflect your image, they hold bits of your soul. Bits. That belief led people in the old days of the American South to cover mirrors in a house when someone died, lest their souls be trapped inside. So, like the number three, the number seven is often associated with luck. 7 years is a long time to be unlucky.
Seven is the lucky number, isn't it?
Which may be why people have come up with countermeasures to free themselves after breaking a mirror. You can free yourself, guys. These include touching a piece of the broken mirror.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
To a tombstone, or grinding the mirror shards into powder. Imagine. Grab it. Oh, God, I fucking broke the mirror.
Go.
We need to take this fucking
graveyard.
Thing.
Go right, graveyard. Go to the mirror.
Yeah, start grinding. Get a fucking pestle, more pestle. Start grinding it down bit by bit.
How many superstitious things I've been involved in. So, wishes.
Yeah.
This used to happen.
Wishbones, with the little finger.
Yeah.
Right on the turkey.
This used to happen to the family every Christmas. Yeah. They used to, leave out the wishbone.
Mm. Do you remember anything you wish for?
I remember wishing to become a vet the year after that.
I can't picture in a war scenario.
Well, I was wishing for it, so...
joined up?
I don't know, I really want this, probably an Action Man for Christmas.
My Wii U, yeah.
I want to open a Wii U before
Christmas. I want a Game Boy Trivial magnifier and light combo.
Yeah. I want weather for this summer.
And you got most of those things, right?
Yeah, so they work. Next thing, cross your fingers.
The crossing the fingers, okay.
People do this as like a instinctive thing, right?
That's true. That's kind of like almost like a thumbs up in a way, isn't it? It's like, look, I'm physically showing you that like I'm trying to
do everything crossed for you.
Everything crossed. My testicles are crossed for you guys. Help.
No, you
help me.
It's not cross for us.
They've tangled up like a yo-yo, like two yo-yos. Help!
What about Friday the 13th?
Fuck that.
No, there's so many of them. Why does it matter? Also, the calendar was established like not very long ago at all. So, like two weeks ago.
It kind of lines up, though.
Right.
Plays devil's advocate.
Yep.
From another standpoint.
Yeah.
It's a part of the year where apparently the veils of
that's All Hallows Eve.
Planes of existence overlap. Yeah, as well.
Is that what Friday the 13th is?
It's like Friday. The October spooky.
But there's not always a Friday the 13th in October. Is there?
It's like no. Well, yeah.
I thought Halloween was you're describing. Halloween itself.
Yeah, but I am talking more about that. Not specifically Friday the 13th, but apparently it's like where the plane of the dead and the living and their two dimensions are at their most. Closenessness.
You know, I don't know whether it's anything to do with the dead or the living, but if in the future we discover that we are in fact part of a many-dimension universe, I can believe that there may be times or places that those things might be closer together. Whether or not that has any bearing on Halloween or the dead, I don't know. But I feel like the, you know,
what did I watch the other day? There was something about that where, like, there could be a whole discovery of universes and how other universes are essentially almost like neighboring us in a different dimension, but we are completely oblivious to
the
passing through us,
and we can't really apparently even ever perceive them
because we live essentially like we're on a piece of paper to someone that's not, that's looking at a piece of paper.
Yeah,
we only ever exist in that piece of paper. We can't get out of that piece of paper. Help, I'm in a piece of paper.
Chris Trott's in a piece of paper. I need to get out. Wake up, pull the cable out the back of your head now. Do it with me. That's why Inception was dangerous.
It's there, you just got to grab it.
Leo's wife in Inception was a warning.
Either way, all of these superstitions, right, in this hypothetical, are real now. Which ones do we avoid?
Of course. So it is
I'm
real.
I'm staying inside.
So
on
we've
Friday
listed all these, throwing salt over your shoulder. That's a good omen, apparently. Why is it? It fends off.
The only superstitions I believe are the ones I've seen in the TV show Supernatural.
Right, okay. And which ones are you believing in then?
A lot of salt use.
It will keep the ghosts out. Wishbones, I'll be doing them all the time because I could wish for anything.
I'll be avoiding the cracks.
Avoid all
but
the
what cracks.
Scott's just got a big old backpack full of wishbones. Also, like whenever somebody comes to, I wish you were dead, wish you were dead, wish you were dead, wish you were dead.
And what parameters are we working with? Because obviously, if I've got shoes on, technically, I'm not stepping on that crack. But bare naked foot hasn't touched anything.
I say you remove all potential cracks in like a wide area around you. So like all your flooring needs to be like solid.
A bricked road. That's like everything's a crack then.
Yeah,
that's
never go out.
That's fucking crazy. Never leave the house.
Don't go out. Don't take an umbrella inside.
There's a crack between like two pieces of vinyl wood. Is that a crack?
Oh God, don't tell me you've...
That's a crack.
You've not been paying attention to those.
You're not be walking in between the slats.
I need to call a lawyer.
Mum, is your back fucked? I just walked down the corridor and I stepped on almost every crack.
What's it like?
What's it like?
Are you like a millipede now?
I don't think she better speak.
That's actually giving me a fun idea for a D&D character. A chicken farmer that has the power of wishbones, and he has to go. It's almost like his spell slots. He's got a bag full of harvested chicken wishbones. And then once he uses up all his wishbones, he has to go back to his farm, farm up some more chickens, and go out on another adventure.
He needs his stock of wishbones.
Magical fucking wishbones.
A lot of chickens have to die for that power.
A lot, and that's what's kind of crazy about it. It's like every time he uses power, it's got a real cost.
Also, he's not. I reckon your character should be a vegan.
Yeah,
doesn't even eat the meat.
I don't eat chicken. No, I just I throw it at people.
I love to smell it. I love to smell it and then just toss it.
I like to warm it up. Yeah, chicken shaman. Yeah.
Do you think we've done superstition thoroughly now?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be. I mean,
we're all skeptics.
If it's all true, then I would panic if I saw a black cat.
It'd be terrifying.
And I would be crossing my fingers at every opportunity so that I wasn't fucked or my mum's back wasn't just.
It'd be so much to like cater to.
You got to watch out. I mean, just be generally aware of your environment, I think, is what we started with when I told you about the rope story. And the same with, like, drains and ladders.
So it's like I'd be a culling of black cats.
Oh, huge.
And also, the rabbit population will be decimated.
Dwindled.
From everyone.
I mean, if we somehow engineer a war between the rabbits and the black cats, that's going to yield the most, like, you know, think like the CIA in South America, right? Like, you got to try and make them do the work for you.
Right.
You just go onto the battlefield of bloodied rabbits and pick up all the feet.
Oh no, the rabbits have been smuggling cocaine and the black cats have been supplying guns to them for it. No, no, they're going to have a huge civil war.
Oh, look, this has got a gun on it.
Oh, El Capitan, the leader of the cat drug cartel. It's nuts.
This seems like you're trying to allude to something else other than superstition.
I'm trying to draw parallels between the war on drugs and a war between black cats and rabbits that would yield... less black cats and lots of feet. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't see that. No.
You heard of chewing gum at night as being one? That's apparently in Turkey.
Choking.
Choking hazard. Yeah. It's thought that after dark, chewing gum is magically transformed like the Mogwai in the movie Gremlins, who turned into the titular monsters if they eat after midnight the flesh of the dead. So chewing gum is magically transformed into the flesh of the dead at night.
Someone made that up for a horror story and it got out of hand.
Yeah.
That just sounds like someone choked and died chewing gum. What happened before that? Did they not exist as a thing?
See, it's absurd. Unless it's just, a public kind of service announcement of just like, stop chewing gum because you keep spitting out on the floor.
I mean, chewing gum is fun, but it isn't necessary, is it? Like, it really is. Like, it's almost like the disposable vape of our generation, chewing gum.
It's got a habit.
It was I don't like chewing.
Just like it doesn't actually really do much for you. Tastes nice. It's enjoyable to do, but like ultimately you don't get sustenance from chewing gum. And then when it's disposed of, it usually ends up stuck to a pavement or a floor or somewhere that then we have to pay taxes to remove.
Yeah, power washing.
Nuts.
Do they even?
No, they don't do anything anymore.
You can't get that shit out of the concrete.
Council tax keeps going up, and things keep getting worse.
Yeah.
It is a good appetite suppressor.
And how do chewing we avoid gum. That? What kind
of is it? I thought chewing gum promoted the production of... That's why you can get stomach ulcers if you chew too much.
Yeah.
Because, like...
You're just swallowing...
It makes your body ready to eat, but then doesn't actually give you any food.
Oh, shit. Well, there you go. Mm.
Huh.
What's our next hypothetical? Okay,
next one. Let's have a look.
All right, yeah, this one, yeah.
This one's from Trash X. They've said, would you rather the whole world knows you as the baby killer, no repercussions in terms of prison time or anything, or you have to live with having actually killed a baby? So no one thinks you're a baby killer, but you've killed a baby, or people think you killed a baby and you are known.
Everyone knows.
Even though
you
haven't done it.
You haven't done it, but everyone
they
knows.
They think you've done it.
They think that you're a baby killer, but you're free, apparently. But it's,
I'd wear my baby killer badge with pride.
I think that if I've not done the time... Surely I didn't do the crime. Or is it just like,
can't
like, well,
rhyme.
You know, I mean, Michael Jackson wasn't convicted.
Exactly. You get MJ levels of baby killing labeled on you.
That's pretty strong. I mean,
not that you kill
but
babies.
I also,
but you
don't again, I'd still rather not have, I think living with the guilt of killing babies is actually worse.
You didn't deprive one individual. You have to wear it like a millstone around your neck that everyone thinks you're a bad guy, but you're not.
How do you redeem yourself? In any way? Did you feel like you were kind of like... be a more positive member
just
of society and kind of be like, look, I didn't kill that baby t-shirts, which, you know, would be on sale now.
Well, no one would believe that.
Yeah, well, if you got it on a t-shirt.
I think you just put, I'm sorry.
Well, that makes it sound like you are apologising for
well,
the crime you did.
You're not going to convince anyone, are you, really?
Everyone mine would just say, which baby? Question mark.
Yeah. Ross wants to kill the baby and tell everyone about it.
Baby where?
Where? Dot I'm baby ready.
I'm baby ready.
With a gun.
Where's the baby?
Where's the
question
baby?
Mark.
Where is the baby?
You'd be a very lonely life, though, wouldn't
saying
it?
Saying which baby.
Not many
which
people baby? Would like
because I
you.
Didn't kill that baby.
Would you want to hang out with someone that potentially killed a baby?
Yeah,
but did they, though?
It wouldn't affect whether I'd hang out with them or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, but if you didn't know that person, we were like, one of our old friends from school has come around, but he's a baby killer, man. He killed a baby once.
Killed a baby.
Anyway, like, he's a heavy drinker, so yeah, we'll get the cans in.
Would you hang around with an Air Force pilot? They probably bombed kids.
No, I haven't.
It's a bit different from, like, I imagine if... Okay, so this person's... I imagine they've killed the baby themselves. Like,
yeah.
They've had to look into a baby's eyes as it dies.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like...
Air Force One is, yeah, they're following orders.
I guess
like,
it's
I don't,
about
I don't say
it,
I don't agree with what the fact they've done it, but it's just, like...
And also,
it's
not, so I'm not removed. Judging Air Force pilots, by the way, either.
Yeah,
I'm
so
just
far
saying
removed
that, like,
from
you know,
the act of a...
Bad intel can happen.
An individual killing a baby. Unless they were just like, well, it was an accident. I didn't realise they were laying on the floor, and I still don't know. Like, I don't know what the situation is. It very much depends on context.
This person got a novelty-sized Timmy mallet, and slammed.
They're not
a
even
baby.
Hard though; they're soft. That's the problem.
Yeah, but if you
mallet.
Get
he got a hard one, this one got.
No, I mean, I'd say you
a masonry hammer, some sort of like giant fucking hammer.
A hammer,
a JFH,
a fairground. You know the one where you like GFH, you hit really hard to hit, ding the bell.
Huh?
One of those, a sledgehammer.
I mean, okay, if it's affecting their personality. Like, in a way that makes
they killed
them-
a baby!
Probably we come to the room and goes, where's the baby set? Get out.
I'd be like, there's no
get
babies
out.
In here. I don't know, I think you just got to give people a fair shake. They might have had a reason.
Don't give people a fair shake. That's what got him into the problem in the first place. No, that's... Oh, God. Jesus.
Are you just being devil's advocate, or do you genuinely believe that
I could get along
with a baby killer?
I think the most virtuous and most... The best way to live is to try and work out a way that you can understand how all things have caused a person to act in the way they have, right? Like, I honestly think that. I mean, obviously, there's emotional elements to these decisions. And if you're like, yeah, this person is so... Like, I believe that people can be so fucked that they are beyond saving, right? Like, and that's kind of comes up against my whole, I don't believe in the death penalty because it can cause lots of innocent death. But I also believe that life can happen to people in such a way that it makes them not compatible with society.
It's, well, technically you were responsible for it. Let's say it was an Uncle Ben situation. He opened the door and let this baby killer in.
Well, yeah,
he ran upstairs and just took a hammer out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you feel guilty? Because you opened, you're like, oh yeah, come on, mate, right through. It's a locked apartment. Normally you just fall. Well, yeah, he's just I mean, right this way, sir.
Yeah, of course, of course. Of
Uncle Ben died because of the same actions.
Did he? So he left the door open.
Something like that. I can't remember what was it.
Spider-Man saw a robbery happening.
That was it. Yeah,
of the wrestling place that he was at. And then let it happen. Well, it's not my problem.
Not my problem, bro. So it was his problem.
You literally, you're holding an elevator.
Yeah.
And a guy holding a baby runs towards the elevator. Is like, call me that elevator, please, please, please. And the person behind is like, that's my baby. Give it back. He's going to kill that baby.
Yeah, I would make sure nobody leaves in that environment before I work out what the fuck's going on.
This guy that's running at you with the baby is like, I'm willing to change. I'm a good guy. Just let me have this one. And then...
There's still time for me
to
change.
I've got redeemable qualities.
I think what Ross said earlier is that context matters.
Yeah, context is entirely crucial. If you knew that some guy literally was just like maliciously killed a child, you'd probably I don't want to hang out with that fucker.
Why is he not released? It is not...
It's your mate.
It is not the best way to be. I don't think, in my personal opinion, it is not the best way to be to...
Kill babies.
Instantly assume... Like, I just feel like people really do.
Just asking if you want to go drinking with this dude. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
What with the baby killer?
I've chosen to not hang out with people for less than killing a baby.
I'd rather not hang out with somebody because they were boring. Because, like.
Well, at least you got something interesting about you, like killing babies.
You know what? Killing babies. Like, again, the context.
Your
here,
life has a bit of spice in it, you know?
What I'm saying is, people. It's very, very fucking easy to become a hypocrite when you say. You don't examine the context.
Yeah, yeah. And of course. Because it was like a cot death or something. It's like, say that it was his fault. But
and
again,
so it's much more healthy to investigate and find out the context.
It was a novelty.
So we didn't give him enough information. It was a novelty size mallet.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy was just like annoyed that he couldn't hear his Call of Duty video game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he turned around and just did what he did.
Yeah. The baby
and now
was
he
crying.
Wants to have a Stella with you. Well, you just
I'll take the fishing rod down to the. It really does. It's just context.
You wanted to go cramming.
What I'm saying is, what I was trying to say earlier is that, like, I do agree that sometimes people need to be removed from society in lots of different ways, whatever's expedient at the time. Hopefully, it would be, you know, rehabilitation. But if you can't have that, prison. If you can't have that, then who knows? You know, it's about whatever, how advanced your society is, whatever, like, reasonable rehabilitation or punishment they can hand out. And the more advanced your society is, the better, more effective that punishment is, right? That's kind of how it works. But, you know, if you're in some sort of new colony and you've got a baby killing bloke, I'm probably not going to bat an eye at somebody bashing their head in with a rock.
He's a real good fucking cook, though.
What was? The baby or the...
The guy.
What about him? He was a
real
good
cook. Like, well, the only good cook.
So he's a good cook.
I guess we're going to have to starve. We'll eat him. Like, honestly, this is the thing, though. Like, it's whatever luxury of rehabilitation and punishment you can afford. Because if you're living in a place where shit is wild and sometimes you've just got to get rid of people, then...
But what if this scenario is about if you were considered a baby killer? So let's say this guy went upstairs to your flat, did what he did, dead baby. Horrible. Terrible stuff.
What if I tell people...
You walk out of the flat, oh my God. Dead baby. You walk out, policeman's there. He's like, whoa.
Am I convincing?
I'm pretty sure. I didn't touch the dead baby in my own flat, which no one else has access to normally.
Yeah.
And now you look like a baby killer.
Yeah.
But they don't find any fingerprints or anything on you, so they can't charge you.
Did I do it in this context?
Well, no, you didn't. The guy did it. The other person who you let through the door in the style of Uncle Ben.
I don't feel guilty. I let them in. Well, this is...
you didn't realize what he was going to do. But now you are implicated in it. Everyone thinks you're the baby killer. But did you? And they're like, but why was the baby in his flat?
Also, that's not. This is why you have such complicated legal systems as things like looking at diminished responsibility, whether or not you had a duty of care, blah, 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 because these things do happen.
Right.
And a great example of this is the time I accidentally let a homeless guy into my building and he smoked two packets of cigarettes in our stairwell.
really?
And I was like coming down the stairs and I was like, it reeks of cigarettes in here. And then the guy, the concierge at the desk was like, you know, you let somebody in last night. And I was like, did I? And I even talked to the guy.
The thing is, when someone's at the door and they're walking with you and they kind of look like they're supposed to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop. I don't ID them.
No.
And go, oh, which room, which building are you going to?
Exactly.
I'm not going to start fucking like interviewing a guy who...
I had that done to me.
So that guy then comes in and he kills a baby.
And he kills a baby.
Are you responsible?
I feel like there is a modicum of responsibility. it's more, but like, obviously you weren't to know. Why would you know what the responsibility of that person is? And like I said, how often are you going to be... It's not your role to go, what's your flat number, mate? Can I have some ID? It's like, why would I fucking turn around and start agging a guy who might look dangerous? I don't know. Or just desperate for a ciggy inside a building. Mm.
The issue with your case in particular, and when you let it in, is you were wearing a t-shirt saying, I'll never have kids.
Yeah.
So I hate kids. Kind of adds to it, unfortunately.
Shit, the t-shirt I was wearing. Don't tell the police what I was wearing. Apparently, that's my favourite shirt. It's my I Hate Kids t-shirt.
We should watch the Seinfeld episode about this, apparently.
Oh, really? There's one. What, of letting people into the wrong building or about
then,
baby killing?
And then bad stuff happening. I can't imagine it's baby killing. But that's,
it's an awkward moment because you don't, you want to trust that they're there for a reason. I feel the same when I follow someone else in. I feel like I want to just be like, no, I've got to, I almost show my fob, just be like,
just because I think that's probably,
I feel like it's just like, I don't want to look like I'm fucking creeping into a building when, I don't know. That's just, maybe that's a British thing, I don't know.
Are we all saying?
To as well. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
I think you're just, you're like, you kind of right where you're just like, well, it's not really, it's almost not your place.
Well, why would you start interviewing them?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, unless they look really like out. Saying that, there were some like people using heroin outside many the other day. I was walking. I had to walk.
Well, don't do
them.
It out here. Do it in here.
Well, no, I didn't say a thing. Is I didn't say a word. I saw needles scattered all over the floor. I didn't say anything. But then he was like, "We're moving on in a second. Don't worry, mate." I was like, "Just, I did not want to be involved."
And then he shanked you.
No, you stuck me.
And now,
This is why.
Want to go smoke 60 cigarettes in a stairwell tonight?
Yes, please. I know a place.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that was awkward though. Was
we'd rather be labelled a baby killer than actually go through with
killing. I don't want to kill a baby. Why do you want to kill a baby?
Well, you don't.
Who's
that's
baby?
That was the hypothetical.
What if it was baby Hitler?
Well, I would, I think.
Come on, guys.
What if it's like...
But you're never going to know. Unless,
well, if I don't know, then I would.
Unless it's like that picture in Back to the Future where...
The whole motivation is stopping World War II.
The Third Reich all starts fading out of the picture. Yeah. It's like, I did it. It's done.
What if it was like a real close friend that, you know, is very rational, very scientific.
Yeah.
You've known for a very long time. Mm. And they come up to you with baby blood on their hands. And they've said, I've actually seen the future and I've come back to stop this tragedy from happening.
Oh, yeah.
I've killed a baby that will become...
What? So sorry, that I'm being told that in the modern era. Or
you're being told in the present by your friend who seemingly...
I'd be like, this is fucking mad, dude. I'm going to have to definitely get the police involved.
There's no way you could take that. You couldn't believe that they came back. They just killed a baby.
The person then smears some of that blood on your hands.
Yeah, and you would go back. You'd go back to the 1940s or 1920s or whatever.
No, it's the future.
I'm saying that if you did this, if you did the thing...
No, it's not the Hitler thing.
But
it's a baby that will go on in the future to be
But you'd
Hitler
have to presume that you're going to get arrested and persecuted in the time that you get rid of Hitler. So I would also presume that the person that does it, even if they're allegedly doing us a favor, you'd still be like, well, sorry, dude, you can't
get away with
this. I guess you would say, who's Hitler? If it worked.
That's true. That's a good point.
And so he's just,
that's a really good point.
They'd be like, who's Hitler? What's a Hitler? You just killed a baby, bro. You're going to fucking prison for a long time. And I hope you think long and hard about what you fucking did. Who's Hitler? Yeah. Nah, there'd be a different one, right?
Someone grilled me the other day for entering a apartment block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did they say? What did they ask you?
No. What did they say? They were just like, oh, are you in the right place?
Show me your credentials.
Really?
Yeah.
They stopped you.
Show me your fob. So that
wow, just like that,
yeah,
just like in that direct sense.
Yeah, he had a bike on, fucking cyclist.
A bike on.
He had a sight.
If they've got a helmet, I feel like there's
pushing his bike into the apartment block.
Yeah,
and I don't know why I mentioned. Just like dig on cyclist.
No, because I feel like there's probably a sense of security with a helmet on.
Yeah,
like you're more likely to approach a dangerous situation if you've got some kind of headgear on. Is that probably right?
Yeah.
Was he wearing spandex?
You profiled.
I feel like I was profiled. Yeah.
But it's difficult because some buildings are like, oh, we've had several people stealing Amazon packages and stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, you should probably be a bit more
vigilant.
We've
had thousands of pounds of stuff going out. I think that the problem is, right, is that individuals like that shouldn't be the ones doing it. It should be people, there should be a community-wide thing that says, hey, guys, just everyone should identify themselves to each other so we know each other better. And that'll help.
There's a soft passive.
When you didn't have documents, Trot, what happened?
Yeah.
I did.
He patted himself down. Oh, fuck.
I didn't actually show it, though.
What did you say?
I just said, oh, yeah.
Bitch, I'm cool.
I'm fine. It's all right.
What? And he just went, you said, it's all right. He said, show me your documents. And you said, it's all right.
No, it's not. Oh, it's fine. I can access this. This is fine.
Right.
Maybe I didn't have access like a Jedi to this apartment block.
This is fine.
Everything's fine.
I was borrowing someone's car park space, all right?
Yeah.
And I've been given access to this thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't have, like...
Yeah,
other than like the big gate fob
thing.
You were the
intruder.
So he was right to do it.
Wow. Amazing.
Also, I took a few Amazon parcels on the way out.
You got a couple.
They'll never catch me. Yes. This feels heavy.
You should have said, yeah, no, I'm all right being here. You're using your bike.
Yeah. What's that bike?
That looks good, isn't
it? Looks nice. You fit your wallet in your helmet. Is that a wallet in your back pocket? Give me your keys and wallet.
Give me your keys. Bad news, buddy.
Bad news. Give me your keys, your phone, and wallet, and that bike looks
otherwise
nice.
I'm going to hit you to death.
You shouldn't have said anything to me, you fucking
you fucking idiot. I wasn't even going to rob you, but now I am, as the lead bar slips from your sleeve.
Yeah.
I was waiting for this day when someone would stop me.
Oh, you're challenging me, are you?
Yeah, good.
You need to learn some manners, mate, and I'm going to beat them into you, and then you beat them to within an inch of death.
But they will survive, and remember.
Yeah.
When you come out of that coma, buddy...
You won't remember my face.
You won't even recognize my face.
I'll come back and I'll be like, hey, I was the guy. I'm Hitler. What?
Who's Hitler? Why do people keep mentioning this guy?
You shouldn't have walked on the cracks today, son. That's what I'll do. Yeah. I'll pin it on a superstition.
Jesus.
You piss all over him, did you say?
No, what?
I heard pee on a superstition.
Pin.
Piss-stition.
Oh, pin.
I'd say you shouldn't have walked on the cracks today, son.
Oh, and then
that's what caused
you
him.
Make him think that.
That is the superstition.
Gaslight him as well.
Yeah. Hope your fingers aren't crossed, mate.
Well, this has been a really wholesome and really good look for all three of us.
Yeah, some of the best podcasts we have do mention babies being killed.
Yeah,
and we got piss in there too, which is great. That's,
piss in there.
And I honestly think sometimes I just try to explain myself and end up making myself look worse. So maybe I should stop trying to explain myself more.
Just do and
I'll just let them presume I'm a good guy.
It's too late for that.
Presume. Not exhume. What have you been exhuming? You got a mirror to deal with.
I need to exhume some things and crush some mirrors down.
Yeah.
Keep breaking mirrors.
Well, again, a huge thanks to our patrons supporting us, but
and
also
funding this and also agreeing with us.
I think by voting on these questions, you are also agreeing with our opinions on said questions.
So? That's
exactly
how
this works. I'm
you
afraid.
Are implicated.
And also, thanks for sending in the hypotheticals as well. The easiest way to do that is via our email. I know we're still using the old email.
It's classic.
hatchat@hat-films.com. That will be amongst all the Raid Shadow Legends brand deals. So thank you very much. And again, if you want to be just like Tracksuit Larry, the band. Yep. And send us a Fingal. That email is also the place to send it.
Thank you.
Just put Fingal in the subject somewhere so I can. It's easier for me to find. And we'd be more than happy to put this bookended on our episodes.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And until next week, keep your fingers crossed. Touch some wood. Don't go under any ladders. And don't go anywhere on Friday the 13th. For the love of God.
Just stay inside. The interdimensional beings will get you. This has really become a crazy like podcast. It's funny how we all kind of end up going towards that.
It's funny
conspiracy
though,
nutcase thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because it's fascinating.
Yeah,
and I think we've mentioned Baby Hitler many times.
Yeah,
but this time obviously he got him, and now no one knows who Hitler is, so there's no justification.
Yeah,
and it's just like, well, you're just a baby killer.
Yeah. What? Anyway, who's Hitler?
Who's Hitler? Anyway. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. I don't hate the homeless.
He doesn't hate the homeless.
I hate the system. I hate the player, I hate the game.
Fear equals hate.
You'd rather they not be around you.
I'd rather
he fears them and doesn't
have
hate them.
To be homeless.
Yeah.
I fear them.
He fears them.
I don't fear them. Fuck, man. Come on.
Goodbye, everybody. God. Have a great week.
See you later.
Unless you're homeless.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.